Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I am your host, Johnny Mack. Through this podcast, I am on a mission to transform lives through primal adventure and to spread my mission of mentorship is conservation. This podcast is powered by Washington Backcountry, a resource for all hunters new and old. To find out more about Washington Backcountry, go to wabackcountry.com or search for Washington Backcountry on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube.
What's up, everybody? We are launching a brand new series called The Why. The Why. We're talking about hunting and why we do it. We're going to be covering a lot of different topics, but this series is with a very special guest and a great friend of mine. Jana Waller. She has always been someone who has led by example within the hunting industry and really been an advocate and ambassador for hunting. And when I recorded episode 4 with her, and I titled it The Why, it was an hour and a half long episode, but we could have kept going forever. And she is so smart and wise when it comes to everything in regards to hunting and being an advocate for it, that I invited her back and asked her to join me on a monthly series called The Why, in which we're going to be covering topics such as recruiting new hunters, mentorship. We're going to talk about legacy, what it is, what it means, conservation, circle of life, nature versus nurture. And today's special episode is what it means to be an ambassador for hunting. So hope you enjoy it. Really looking forward to seeing how this goes. Give us some feedback. Let us know what you think. And I hope you enjoy today's episode with Jana Waller in the Why series. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soulful Hunter Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. I am joined by the one and only Jana Waller. And Jana and I are going to be diving into a series called The Why. The Why with Jana. And we're going to be covering a bunch of different topics spanning from mentorship, legacy, conservation, circle of life. But specifically, we are going to be addressing what it means to be an ambassador on today's episode. So, Jana, thank you so much for joining us once again. It's always a pleasure having you on.
Oh, it's an honor being here. You and I, we'll try to make this short tonight. You and I tend to go off on all these amazing topics and can chat and chat and chat. But I was really excited when you approached me about doing this Why series and I think just be authentic and real and talk about some topics that I think people talk about amongst themselves, but maybe don't publicly talk about. So it's going to be fun diving in.
Yeah. And that's the whole idea, is to create these conversations that people normally don't have, or maybe they're having them in their own individual heads, but that right. To actually speak it into the universe changes the dynamics of everything. And it really allows you to address it and take action on what it's all about.
Yeah. Amen. I love that, putting out into the universe. Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Yep. It's like, I'm going to go on an elk hunt in 2 weeks. I'm going to shoot an elk. I'm putting it out in the universe. It's going to happen.
Well, I'm going on Saturday, so I need to be doing the same thing.
Yeah. The conversation I had earlier today with somebody was like, well, if we shoot an elk, I was like, no, I'm shooting an elk. It's going to happen.
I love it.
So let's talk about what it means to be an ambassador. Obviously, I know you as an ambassador for different brands. You know, when I first became Onyx subscription member, I saw my membership card with your face on it. And but what we're talking about is what it means to be an ambassador for hunting. So first off, give us a little bit of insight, or at least your perspective, of what you think it means. What does an ambassador mean to you?
Well, that's a good question, because what it means to me is something different than what it means to in every individual and every company. It's really changing and evolving, because just like anything, through social media, through time, through awareness, things evolve, change, and grow. Back in the day, you know, when the term pro staff got brought about, some people took it as professional and other people took it as promotional. And it's almost a term that's not even used anymore. It's evolved into ambassador, and it means something different to everybody else. what a brand ambassador means to me is it means that someone represents a company. Now, that's really a broad description, but truly that's what it is. If you're a brand ambassador, it means you represent that brand, and it could be for nothing. It could be in trade for product. It could be for money, but it means that you like and use that brand and promote it. Actually, I take the like part back. A lot of people probably don't even like what they brand, but they do it for, you know, purposes of to better their career, to add to a resume because they got free product, whatever. But brand ambassador to me just means you represent that company.
Yeah. So what does it mean to be an ambassador for hunting? Just overall, we have hunters, we have anti-hunters, we have people who are on the fence, who are undecided. What does it mean to be an ambassador for hunting?
In my opinion, an ambassador of hunting, it's all of us. We all are, whether we like it or not, whether we admit it or not. If you have a Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and those are the only ones I have. So like what else there is out there? I'm a techie idiot. But
TikTok for all you teens that are out there listening.
Yeah, whatever that is. So if you're a hunter or you post about hunting, you talk about hunting, you're a hunter, you are an ambassador. Let's face it. You are expressing that you hunt through your social media. And in my opinion, that's pretty serious because a lot of non-hunters, which is the majority of the population, I mean, we're down to 4%. That's scary. The latest statistic is 4% of the U.S., they're hunters. It used to be thought of as 10% of us were hunters, 10% of us were vehement anti-hunters, and then there's the 80% in-betweeners who aren't necessarily for it or against it, but they just maybe didn't get brought up in a hunting household and they don't have an opinion one way or the other. Now we're less than 4%. So like the majority of the population in this country are not hunters. And we are going to be influencing them in some form or fashion through our social media platforms. So if you're a hunter, you are an ambassador to hunting as a whole, in my opinion. And what that means, hopefully, is that you represent hunting for what it truly is, which is a way of living off the land. It's a way of enjoying Mother Nature. It's a way of gathering your own food. It's a way of hanging out and having fun with friends. It's a way to get proficient with your weapons. It's all those things, but we're all ambassadors in my opinion.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I just want to add a little bit to this right here is if you Google what it means to be an ambassador, there's going to be a lot of stuff that comes up. Most of it revolves around brand ambassador, since that's more of a newer term, but really ultimately there's some of the definitions is that being an ambassador means that you have passion for building and growing relationships, and you have the ability to gather feedback and provide insight. And when I was going through the research for this and getting ready for this episode, I was thinking to myself, man, being an ambassador is exactly like, for me, being a teacher. Mm-hmm. Whether or not, so I teach physical education at a middle school.
Right.
And if I do not take the feedback of the students and provide insight, and provide a passion for building and growing the relationships, it doesn't matter what subject I'm teaching, I'm not going to build a positive impact into these people's lives, into these students' lives. And ultimately, us as hunters, we need to gather the feedback of what's around us, provide insight, and this is where knowledge is power, and you having the knowledge and the foundation to stand upon to be able to answer questions when you are faced with questions about like, why do you hunt? Why is it okay to hunt? Why do you take lives? How could you? What if the animal had a weapon and was hunting you? And all these different things that anti-hunters and people who are on the fence, you as a hunter need to be able to defend and take a stand for hunting, and with that, show that you have a passion for it so that you can build and grow the relationships. Ultimately, the idea is to recruit more hunters.
Right. That's really interesting that you say that, the word feedback, because what I observe on social media, and I'm not on it probably as much as most people are, but like I sometimes see when someone has a question or poses a conflicting opinion that I watch the feedback back and forth, and it's often very negative. And you bring up the really good point of feedback. Like, I may be representing the companies that I represent, and mind you, like, those have really been narrowed down in the last decade. Like, I am really proud to say that I love the companies that I work for. They've become my friends. They are products I truly use every day, that I stand tall behind, that I believe I live a really authentic life and represent people and brands that I believe in. But I also really try hard to take the time to give feedback. If someone says to me, you know, really, why is that better than the other? Or I have this kind of, you know, product, which is opposite of what you're branding of. What do you think the difference is? For example, people will come and say to me, you know, I shoot a Matthews bow. I've shot lots of bows. It's been almost three decades. I've shot a Hoyt bow, a Renegade, which isn't even around anymore, a Darton, Matthews. And there are so many great bows out there. I love the Matthews Avail. It's one of my favorite bows I've ever shot. It's a great bow for me, but I'm not going to tell somebody that there aren't other great bow companies out there. That's not authentic feedback. I recommend everybody going to a shop where they can shoot and feel what the bow feels like. What does it feel like drawing back? What does it feel like when you're holding back? What does it feel like as far as steadiness and weight? You know, how does it shoot? What is your poundage? You know, and I think it's important that we have positive engagement back and forth, even with people who may have opposite opinions. And whether it's on products or hunting as a whole, I think it's really important to engage in mature adult conversation. And the sad thing about it is a lot of people don't do that. You know, they hide behind the keyboard. They might, you know, just deflect anything that's not along their particular views, where I love other people's feedback and comments and questions. And it's just important to remember to have that mature, open dialogue with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. It's really interesting. Going back to when we were talking about feedback, you know, one thing that I've learned in my life is that feedback is neither positive nor negative. It's just information. And it's how each person takes the feedback and how they apply it to their lives. And they can choose whether or not it's going to upset them, anger them, make them happy, joyful, or whatever emotions come along with how they respond to the feedback. But ultimately, that feedback is just information for us to be able to make more informed decisions. Like you were talking about your bow, you know, you got to shoot multiple bows before you can make an informed decision as to what you think is the best. And when it comes to like hunters arguing on ethics, you know, was that an ethical kill? Was that a shot that you should have taken? Or, you know, I would have done that completely different. How dare you? And a lot of fingers start to get pointed. That's not being an ambassador for hunting. Being an ambassador is that building of a relationship, growing a relationship. It's leading with kindness and love. And people can have different points of views. That's what's beautiful about the perspective. Why is a rainbow beautiful? It's because it's multiple colors that shine through to give you all perspective. But it's when the closed-mindedness comes into the view and behind the keyboard and all that, that people who aren't familiar with hunting start to form opinions, and these opinions is what can lead to the downfall of the Second Amendment and taking away of our hunters' rights and all sorts of different things. And it's a horrible rabbit hole if we don't start coming together and think that everything we post, everything we say, how we act and how we show up in the world is how we are ambassadors for the hunting community.
Oh, it's so true. And it's so, you know, like, I believe in open dialogue and discussing topics, but on a mature platform. So how I personally take people's feedback and criticisms and opinions is sort of twofold. If someone comes at me on social media and they name call or they, you know, make rude comments, or they, you know, say something off the wall. Usually there's a good C word, B word, you know what I'm talking about in there. I will not engage conversation. I've learned my lesson, because I used to, and it would go, they simply do not want to become knowledgeable or educated. If someone is starting off on a really negative note and calling you names and asking a question, but having a lot of derogatory language in that question, they're not looking for the answer. They're looking just to, you know, have you go off, so to speak. Yep. And, you know, they're looking to bring you down. So I just block, ban, and delete those types of comments. But when it comes to feedback and people have serious, legitimate questions, you're right. It's so important to like calm down, really look at the question, and remember that that question may be coming from someone who's never been introduced into the hunting lifestyle at all. They may see one of my pictures that's a bear, because I do a lot of bear hunting. And it tends to be on predator pictures a lot, like coyote hunting, bear hunting, mountain lion hunting. And they'll say something like, "That's so disgusting. How could you kill that bear?" If there's no name calling in it, I try to take the approach of, they have no idea that if we didn't manage our predators, that we wouldn't have elk and deer and antelope and other ungulates. They don't understand that predator-prey relationship. So I think it is important, like you said, to have that dialogue and remember that you, when you're speaking through social media, I don't care if you're, you know, Johnny Smith in the eighth grade, or you're, you know, you're Jim Shockey. You know, you need to have that. Remember that other people are watching, and that we hunters, it's important that we band together. And you and I have talked about this before, about how frustrating it is when we do see hunters bash one another. And there's just, you know, hunting can become an egotistical thing. And that's what a lot of non-hunters see. They see us, you know, gripping grins and posing with our dead animals, and they don't understand all that, which I can get when they didn't come from a hunting family. What I don't get is hunters that bash one another without even really having the awareness, which we are now putting out into the universe, an awareness that there are really big threats going on behind the scenes to take away our hunting rights, to stop bashing one another. If it's, you know, whether having these, you know, "I wouldn't have taken that shot," or "that buck's too little" kind of discussions, and band together stronger, because that 4% is dwindling and we need to become a stronger united front.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. So a few more things I want to add into this is really interesting, and you're making me, my gears start turning in my head. And so I had opportunity of taking my very first deer just a couple weeks ago, was a doe. Mm-hmm. And it was beautiful, but it was a smaller island deer where the deer are everywhere. So there's more tags available than people that put in for them. And so I got 45 pounds of meat off of this doe. Mm-hmm. And I remember talking with my wife about hunting season, and you know, each hunt is special regardless of whether it's in the wilderness or in the backyard or the back 40. This was shot on private land in like a 2.5 acre lot, and so it had its own things that got the heart racing and challenged my adventure. Mm-hmm. But my wife was like, "So you're not going deer hunting during rifle season now, right?" I was like, "What do you mean?" She's like, "Well, you got your meat, your deer meat." And I was like, "No, I still want to go." And she's like, "Well, why?" And I was thinking to myself, I was like, okay, this is where all hunters, not just me, can't just get stuck on the basis of I hunt only for meat. And even though if you do hunt only for meat, that's fantastic, and I truly commend you. But ultimately, I know for me, I do it for so much more. It's the meat and, it's not the meat or.
Right.
You know, and right. So it was really this concept I had in my head. And I was like, man, how do I even defend this to my own wife who supports me for hunting? And I was like, okay, this is where I need to grow as an individual, to learn how to defend and speak what it is that hunting does for my own life. And that's where the transformation through Primal Adventure comes into it, the talk, is that hunting does more than just puts meat in your freezer and meat on your table, but it provides you the relief from the existence that we have in our everyday life and allows us to escape into a place of silence and peace and ultimately reflect upon ourselves and become whole and connected back with ourselves and the universe.
It's so true. And it's kind of like, you know, when I have discussions with non-hunters, which it's actually a lot. Whether I'm sitting on an airplane next to a stranger or I'm, you know, at an expo and they drug along a wife who didn't want to be there or whatever it is. It's kind of like going hiking. Like, why do you hike? Well, most people would explain that they like the calorie burn, but it's so much more than that. They go hiking because they get to feel the sun on their face and feel the cool breeze in their hair. And they get to, you know, hear the birds sing, and they might get to see a deer or squirrels run across their path, or, you know, it clears the mind. It makes their lungs burn, which makes them feel alive. All those reasons that's how I describe hunting to people who've never been in a hunting situation. It's like, why would you go for a run? Well, all the reasons I just said, and yet there are some people in the world who are like, I can't believe you'd put your body through that. Why would you go running? It's the same thing as hunting. It really is the same thing. It's all these reasons that might not make sense to somebody who's not done it before, but it's complicated and it's deep and it's passionate. And the more you do it, the more you want to do it. But it's like hunting or hiking. I mean, it's like running or hiking or something outdoors related that people can you open up that door a little bit where they can kind of maybe understand the nature connection or understand the pushing your body connection that comes with a lot of big game hunting. And it's like you said, it's opening up that dialogue with people, and we've got to do it. It may sound, you know, repeated over and over and over again, like, okay, yeah, we know we need more hunters, we need to get kids involved, but it's becoming a crucial level where we really, all of us who love to hunt, need to introduce new people into it and need to express it through social media of what that is and how we are not only benefiting our lives, we are benefiting wildlife. And that is the disconnect right there of, like, there are more elk, more deer, more ducks, more pheasant because of hunters. And it can be really hard for people to understand that conservation concept, but we've got to open up the dialogue.
Absolutely. And that is why we are doing this series. The why,
right,
is because we're going to be diving into the whole concept of why hunt.
Right.
Why do what we do? Yeah. And so hopefully through this episode, people are starting to get an understanding of, like, oh man, okay, this is a gut check. I need to know what I need to know in order to take a stance and defend and also have integrity with hunting.
Yeah, there's a really good link on the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation's website that's 25 reasons hunting is conservation. I've had so many friends of mine who are somehow related to classrooms, whether they're teachers or principals or their kid came home and got harassed in school, whatever. I say, go print this out and tell your kid to take it to school. It makes so much sense. It gives statistics of why there are more animals and birds because of hunters. And it's 25 reasons on the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation website. It's such a good thing. But back to, real quick, I know we are you and I tend to go off topic. We're talking about brand ambassadors and what does that mean? I really want to touch on this really quick because it's topic specific, that the term brand ambassador, it truly does mean something different to every companies. And I see it shifting in our industry and on social media. And there are a lot of people that have kind of gotten on the hate bandwagon for these younger, prettier girls who are brand ambassadors for these big hunting companies. And it seems to be a topic that comes up so much on other podcasts where they want to, like, it's frustrating because, you know, there are a lot of guys who are way more knowledgeable or have been around a lot longer, or there are women who may be older who have way more experience in the field, but these young, pretty girls, you know, are getting these brand ambassador deals through their Instagram accounts kind of thing. And I want to encourage everybody to take a look at it like this. it's all related to what we were just talking about. First of all, most of these companies are not paying the young Insta-famous girls. They may be giving them product and, you know, hoping that their reach is returning an ROI on a return of investment on that product, whatever. But trust me when I say most of them are not getting paid to do that. It's just a product trade. But in all, if we really take a look at it, these young girls specifically, at least they are branding hunting, what we've talked about. And I think that if people understood the forces that be that are trying to take away our gun rights, take away our hunting, you know, eliminate trapping, all the things that are crucial to our lifestyle, they want to take away because they don't understand it. It's important to remember that if these young women are branding these products in a positive light, they're talking about loving the outdoors, they're talking about embracing a hunting lifestyle, I think it's a really good thing. I do. I think that it's all dependent and there's, of course, I'm going to get emails now from people saying, well, what about this girl and that girl? I don't care about the individual. As a whole, the more we're talking and showing the non-hunters, which is like 96% of people now, the more that we're talking about hunting in a positive light, the better it is for all of us. And we need to be aware of that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Way to nail that. You know, I want to just wrap up with this one thing that I was blown away with over the growth of my transformation of when I first started hunting to where I am now. And a few years back when Cecil the Lion was shot, mm-hmm. and all this was going down, and I was new to hunting, and I was sitting in my lunch room with a bunch of teachers and principals, and they were talking about how dare this man shoot a lion, blah blah blah, hunting is horrible. And I was there almost feeling like a coward, being like, I can't speak up because I don't know exactly what to say or how to approach them. And I just recently got off a beautiful podcast with one of your good friends, Robbie Kroger from Blood Origins. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
And I asked him about hunting elephants because mm-hmm. I have a fellow teacher that supports me in what I do, but she's like, oh, I don't know. I follow PETA also. And every time I see one of those things where elephant is poached, I'm just like, how can people shoot elephants? And I was talking to Robbie and he was like, well, you know, elephants, you can't hunt in a lot of areas, but in certain areas, you know, if they're over the max quota or the carrying capacity of what these areas hold, you have to manage wildlife. Exactly. And, you know, could you imagine, you know, trying to be a farmer and it's hard enough to keep rats, rodents, predators away? What if all of a sudden a giant elephant or a few elephants came in, they'd ruin your entire crops? And I was like, man, you are just giving me so much information that is so important for people that they need to hear so that they understand. And so the concept of, like, you know, why shoot an elephant is because it's the concept of conservation. Now, if it's illegal, it's illegal. And let me say this, and for all the listeners, poaching is not hunting. So if an elephant is poached or if any other animal is poached, that's not hunting. Poaching is poaching. That is illegal. But what we're talking about, especially within the realm of being an ambassador for hunting, is you got to understand that the conservation of animals is something that is a way to manage wildlife in relationship to human encroachment. And it's so important for us to know how to take an angle on conversations like this when we talk to people who are like, how could Cecil the Lion die? Or how could you shoot an elephant? And I thought elephant hunting was illegal. And it's like, well, did you know there's elk in a lot of states and yet some states don't even let you hunt them? And it's like, oh, okay, well, that puts things into perspective a little bit.
Right. And most people that come out with the opinion of That's so horrible. How could they hunt elephants? Have absolutely no clue. They've never been to Africa. They have no clue about the environment. Like you said, every country is different. Every area, every region is different. What they don't understand, this concept about elephant hunting, and it's the same in a lot of other different species, is that let's say that one hunter from Europe or America wants to come and kill a big bull elephant. He's going to pay $30,000 to kill that mature, humongous tusker. And what they don't understand is that money that he is paying, a lot of that is going to the anti-poaching patrols. That just like in the U.S., when we buy a hunting license, when we buy a tag or put in for special permits, or a lot of that dollar, those dollars go to the state to manage our wildlife, to help the predator-prey relationship, like I talked about earlier. Same thing with Africa. When someone is going to kill a lion or a leopard or an elephant or one of the big five, or a lot of that money goes towards anti-poaching patrols, because poaching is rampant in Africa. Absolutely rampant. Every single area that has hunting, there is severe snaring and poaching going on. And they don't understand, like, how, if you take away those dollars, that income towards that elephant, what that hunter is willing to pay for that animal, you're taking away that animal's value, and you're also taking away the monies that going to protect that animal, as well as the monies that go towards the water systems and the schools. And it's such an emotional topic for people that don't have any clue about the basis of hunting. And trust me when I say, groups like PETA, groups like the United States Humane Society, HSUS is one of the biggest you know, we all think Humane Society, that has nothing to do with the local humane societies in all of our towns and communities in this country. The HSUS is the Humane Society of the United States, is one of the biggest anti-hunting organizations out there. You can Google it. They've been red flagged, and there's warning signs all over the website. Do not donate, because they're corrupt. And what they do is they prey on the emotions of the uninformed, of the uneducated, misinformed people who see the little postcard of the elephant with the tear dripping down their face, or they see the postcard with the wolf puppy, save the wolves, and they tug on the heartstrings of people who don't know any better. And we just need, like you said, need to become armed with education when we're talking to people, so we can explain to them that, no, I love elephants too. I love wolves. I love all animals. And there needs to be a harmonic balance of them all. But you're not going to go throw a piranha in a kid's fish tank and expect everything to go okay. They need to be managed. Animals need to be managed. And we humans have encroached on their wildlife. You know, we have, at some points back at the turn of the century, we've brought their numbers down to, you know, debilitating and non-sustainable numbers, that we hunters' dollars now are the ones that are managing that. And it's a beautiful thing, but it's so misunderstood.
Yep. Yeah. So hopefully all you listeners really were able to take some food for thought away from this episode and really challenge yourself, because inward reflection always will lead to outward correction. And that if you take the time to reflect about how are you being an ambassador for hunting, you can start to challenge yourself and challenge others in their ways of thinking and their ways of being and their attitudes towards hunting. Because ultimately, we want to bring as many people into the fold as possible. As much as you hate going out during modern rifle and seeing a pumpkin field on the hills, it is better for our Second Amendment. It is better for our society, for people to get up off the couch, be active, be engaged, and be passionate about something in the end. So, Jana, thank you so much for joining us for the very first episode of the Why series. I really look forward to seeing where this takes us. And if any listeners, you have any questions or comments or anything, make sure to drop us a line. Let us know what you want us to talk about, but also what your thought is on what we're sharing.
I love it. Like, open up that dialogue. And like you said, the one other thing I would love to add is for people to, you know, there's an easy website, like I said, on Rocky Mountain Aqua Nation, but there's also, there's a lot out there to just Google it and teach your kids and yourselves how to have that talk, how to walk the walk, talk about the Pittman Robinson Act, that where our hunters' dollars go. You know, we spend a lot of money, billions of dollars every year that goes towards wildlife management and what that means. And it's, you know, join a conservation group in your area. And in joining that conservation group, you're going to get involved and you're going to learn through the monthly magazines. You're going to learn through the conversations you have at the banquet chapters. You know, it's just important to get involved because we need to protect what we love, which is
absolutely
our lifestyle.
Absolutely. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yep.
Just like my 3-year-old says to me every time I correct him on something, why? Cannon, please stop. Okay. Why?
Why?
People need to know the why. It's yep. what helps us understand and grow as humans.
I so agree. That's why this series is going to be so much fun.
I love it. Well, Jana, thank you so much. Until the next episode where we get you back. So have a wonderful hunt. You're going out for elk this next weekend.
Yep. I'm heading over to about 5 hours from here in Montana for the archery elk season. And you know how it goes with archery. You never know, but it's just an amazing adventure being in the mountains. So good luck to you and everybody else out there who's listening. And let's just remember to go forth and talk about our passion in a positive light.
That's right. Stay soulful, everybody. Jana, thanks for joining.
Thank you for having me.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, I'd love it if you could go ahead and give this a rating as well as subscribe. Also, you can check us out on Instagram under the Soulful Hunter Podcast. Make sure to tag us in pictures and posts and use the hashtag Soulful Hunter. To find out more about the Soulful Hunter Podcast, go to soulfulhunter.com and be sure to follow the podcast as we are going to be bringing you a lot of great information, insight, and changing lives through primal adventure. I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode. Stay tuned and stay soulful.